How's that, Sean? Yeah, all right. All right. Well, we're going to have to trim this sermon down a little bit. And that's a good thing. I'm excited that for the reason why I get to trim it down, because of the prayer that happened. And that's good. It's good to be a part of that. And I'm hopeful that it continues. In January, I had the opportunity to start serving with John and Barb Parson on the Bible bus. And what that is we go around to two of the Silverton schools, and we show up for a half hour for five different classes, and we share the Word of God with about 100 students. It's amazing. At this day and age, that we can show up with our Bibles and we can just share the love of Christ with these kids. And it's a really great opportunity. And on that bus, what we see is there's kids over here that they know the Lord. They know Him. They have a personal relationship with Him. And there's one girl in particular, she is always talking about how she's trying to share the gospel with her cousin. And then there's kids that they go to church, they know the Word, but that's about where it stops. There's no personal relationship. And then there's kids that hit and miss. They get to be a part of it, and they know a little bit about it. They know that the Bible's about God, and that's what church is about. And then there's a couple kids that there's absolutely no instruction in their lives, but for some reason, their parents signed that release form so that they could be released for a half hour each week to hear the Word of God. And what's interesting is we're at it in a couple of months, and John would always say, tonight when you get home, finish reading this story in your Bible. And this one little girl, she pipes up, she says, John, Mr. Parson, I don't have a Bible. And so we started talking, and we were able to start handing out Bibles to these kids. And so the next thing you know, we're showing up at the schools. We're passing out the Word of God in the school. And we get towards the end, and Barb is frantically trying to gather enough Bibles to get them out to everybody that wants one. And at the end, we have a couple extras. And she asks this group of kids, hey, do any of you want a Bible? And then there's this one kid, he's clear over here on this side. You know this kid. He knows who Christ is. He has a relationship with Him. And he's like, no, thanks. I've got one already. We're like, okay, great. Good for you. And then he's like, then he sees it, and it's this small, compact Bible. It's New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. That's what's in this Bible. And he's like, well, you know, that'd be kind of nice. That's small. And so we're like, well, yeah, and we said, well, you know, it's only the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. He's like, well, that's great, because my mom says that's where Jesus is. That's all we need. That's where the good stuff is. That's where Jesus is. That's where we get to read. And I'm in CDI right now. We're going through the Old Testament, and we're looking to see Jesus in the Old Testament. And I look at this kid, and I said, well, you want to know what? You can find Christ in the Old Testament as well. And he kind of looks at me strange. And so that's where I get it. The next two Sundays, we're just going to walk through part of the Old Testament and just look to see where we can find Christ in the Old Testament. Because for me, I remember early on with my walk, it was the New Testament. That's where I saw everything happening. But then hanging out with Pastor Tim now for the last year and a half, 2 years. It's like, no, he's that whole, the whole book, the whole counsel, that is all about him. And so we're going to turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. And this is Christ talking about how he is in the Old Testament. And then I'm going to have to figure out what I need to cut out. So, John chapter 5, verse 39. And this is Christ just, he was just basically getting scolded by the Pharisees for healing a man on the Sabbath, and he's just telling them how it is. But he says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And so it's like, there's Christ. He's saying, the scriptures testify about me. And Christ, he's talking about the Old Testament. And Thursday night, we're going through we went through the minor prophets to find Christ in the minor prophets. And in prayer time, Pastor Tim talked about being thankful that we have this progressive revelation of Christ. And so it's like, it's not that the revelation of Christ is not like, without the New Testament, we can't completely see it, but we slowly see Christ being revealed in the Old Testament. And what we do is we talk a lot about, you know, there's these types of Christ in the Old Testament. And I was like thinking, like, how do I explain like what a type is? And without giving you this long definition, and I was thinking about, like, if you had never seen a farmer before, and you see this little kid running around on his pedal tractor, and like you don't know what it is, but you're like, well, that's kind of interesting. And you see this kid riding around on a pedal tractor, and he's loading hay up in his wagon, but you're like, you're not sure what it is. But then 20, 30 years later, you see a full-size tractor. You actually see a farmer, and you see it, and you're like, oh, like that, what that little kid was, that was pointing to what he was going to be later. He is this farmer, he is this, and like, so you've got, if you didn't know what the farmer was, and you saw this little kid on this pedal tractor, like, he's not a farmer, but he's pointing to what he's going to be, or what, who he is. And so when we look at the Old Testament, and we see, like, I said they're pointing to, they're setting us up, they're setting the Jewish people up so that they understand that there's something greater coming. They're saying, well, there's something about this, and it's pointing forward to Christ. And so we get to see that. And so that's why we want to start with Noah and the Ark. And in the account of Noah, God, in the scriptures, it is said that Noah is righteous and he's blameless. And you see that a couple of times. He's righteous and he's blameless. And for that reason, he's found favor in the Lord's eyes. But righteous and blameless in his generation. He's not perfect. And we see that if we continue to read his story. But he's not perfect. But Christ, who Noah is pointing forward to, is perfect. And if we look to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll see that how we have Noah that's perfect, or blameless and righteous in his generation. But then we have Jesus in 1 Peter 2 chapter 22. Last night when I was practicing, going through this, I tried reading out of Timothy. First, make sure I'm in the right spot. Now I'm in 2 Peter. I'm like, this is not making any sense at all. All right, here we go. "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to the righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And because Noah, he was righteous and blameless in his generation, he found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he was used as a means to deliver him and his family out of the destruction of sin. But because Christ, because he was without sin, he was able to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins and delivered us from the eternal consequences of sin, and we are able to have everlasting life in him. And then, well, I was going to talk about obedience because that was another thing that he was talking about, but turn to Romans, or let's go to Philippians 2. There's another one in Romans, but that's Romans 5. If you guys want to later check out Romans 5 and see how Paul writes about Christ being obedient there, I encourage you to take a look at that. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Noah was obedient in building a boat and walking onto it. Christ died on the cross for us. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Noah's obedience would demonstrate to the Jewish people that the obedient acts of one man would deliver that group of people from death. But Noah built the boat out of obedience, but Christ died on the cross out of that obedience. And with that, there's far more than 8 people that get to have eternal life through Christ. And the last thing I wanted to talk about today, in the story of the flood and a type of Christ, is the ark. And the ark, is a type of Christ, is the door. There's one way into that boat. And we have eternal life through one way only, and that is through Jesus Christ. And that is not a popular statement in the culture that we live in right now, to say that if you reject Jesus, you stand condemned. And we saw that play out in politics this week. But it's not a popular thing. Like I said, but the door, the ark had one door to walk through for deliverance from death and destruction. And that, I said, they had only one way, and then God closed that door. God did that work. And then God provides one way for us to be delivered from sin. And John 14. John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Wait, one way. And then like the ark, God provides one way to be delivered from the sin and corruption of this world, and that is through believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I just want to encourage all of us, as as we come to the Bible, as we work through our reading plans this next year, that when we come to those Old Testament passages that we're reading, that to look, what does this scripture say about Christ? How does it point to the coming Messiah? And because from the story of Noah and the ark, what we can see is that God is very serious about sin, that he would send a sinless man to save his people, and that there's only one way to be saved. If we think about it in that context, what is he saying? What is he pointing towards? He's pointing to what Christ would do. And Matthew Henry, in his commentaries, this is what he writes. He says, Christ is an ark already prepared, in whom alone we can be safe when death and judgment comes. He says, Christ is the ark. We can find safety there. And my question is to all of us, have you walked through that one door provided for us to find safety in the ark that God has provided for us, his son, Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, just come to you and just thank you so much that you have provided a way for us to have eternal life, and that is through your son. And we just thank you for as Pastor Tim says, that general revelation, that we can see Christ in the Old Testament, and that we can just see that it wasn't an afterthought, but you had this planned out from the beginning, that sin would be defeated, and that would be through the work that your son did on the cross for us. We just thank you, and we love you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.